Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 30, question 80. What difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Popish Mass? The Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have full forgiveness of all our sins by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself once accomplished on the cross, and that by the Holy Ghost we are engrafted into Christ, who with his true body is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father and is there to be worshipped. But the Mass teaches that the living and the dead do not have forgiveness of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is still daily offered for them by the priests, and that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and is therefore to be worshipped in them. And thus the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and passion of Jesus Christ and an accursed idolatry. Then question 81, who are to come to the table of the Lord? Those who are displeased with themselves for their sins, yet trust that these are forgiven them, and that their remaining infirmity is covered by the passion and death of Christ, who also desire more and more to strengthen their faith and to amend their life. But the impenitent and hypocrites eat and drink judgment to themselves. And then finally, question 82, are they then also to be admitted to this supper who show themselves by their confession and life to be unbelieving and ungodly? No, for thereby the covenant of God is profaned and his wrath provoked against the whole congregation. Wherefore the Christian church is bound, according to the order of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the office of the keys until they amend their life. Well, as we continue to think about the questions in the Heidelberg Catechism, what the questions particularly contribute to our understanding, to our growth in our grasp of the doctrine, it's very clear that these questions are calling upon us really to be intelligent Christians, to understand what we believe and why. You see that very clearly with regard to question 80, of course, where we're not just understanding what we believe, we're also understanding what a related group believes and why we don't agree. Now, of course, within the circumstances in which the Heidelberg Catechism was written, the major point of conflict was between Protestants and Catholics. And so it's phrased in this particular way because that was the live controversy at the moment. But the general principle that we should understand the environment in which we live, we should understand what is distinctive, what we need to reject as well as what we need to accept, I think would apply more widely as well. And so if we were in a completely different environment, perhaps if we were in Indonesia, our understanding, our training of young people would be focused not so much on what's the difference between the Lord's Supper and the Mass, but perhaps on a different set of questions. But the idea there is to be intelligent, to understand what we believe, why we believe it, and of course it automatically goes along with that. If we believe certain things, there are certain other things that we don't believe. There are certain other things that we disbelieve. And then when it raises the question of who's to come to the table of the Lord, whether those who are openly ungodly in their behavior, who show themselves, as it says, to be unbelieving and ungodly, you realize that the ideal here is for every church member, for everybody who belongs to the church, to have a sense of moral standards, of right and wrong, to have a sense of how the church functions, to know at least a little bit about church discipline. Because the ideal of the Reformed churches is never, let's keep the people in ignorance and have them do whatever the experts say. Whenever we fall into that, whenever we act that way, we're really departing from the ideals of the Reformation. The point is to have people who know. That's why the Protestant churches were so active in teaching young people to read. That's why they were so active in translating the Bible into ordinary language. We want people to know. That's the whole point of the catechism, so that you can know what it is that you're being taught, so that there's one source where you can go and you can review and you can say what in fact is believed in this church. Well, here it is. It's all laid out. And it's laid out in the very user-friendly format of questions and answers. Let me qualify a little bit here. We love for people to come in who are uninstructed so far and who don't know what is going on. That's wonderful. But we want them to learn some things. And of course, if you've been here all your life, we think there's still some more things for you to learn. But that's our ideal, is that we would be learning, growing, and understanding. That's not the only dimension in which we need to learn and grow, but that's a very important dimension. And so we review, we explain, we even commit to memory. We're very committed to the proposition that people should know what they believe, that it should be clear and straightforward, and that they should know the reasons for it, that they should know how that works out into practice. We want believers to understand as much as they can. And some will be able to understand more than others, and that's fine. But we want everybody to grow up into the full assurance of understanding, as the scriptural phrase is.